In this theme passage for these messages upcoming is follow me. Follow me. It says in verse number 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, so Peter and his brother Andrew, they were there working on Galilee, right? And the Lord comes by and says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then John chapter 21, and I hope that this chapter is familiar to you and the content of it. And I challenge you to know what the books of the Bible are speaking about in general. And then as you can break it down, the Lord blesses, and you study and read and meditate upon the Word of God, get a handle on what the different chapters are speaking about. Oh, Brother Jim, there's 66 books in this, or 66 books in this book, and a lot of chapters, a whole lot of chapters otherwise too. So yeah, it's a lifetime kind of work, but I tell you what, pursue it. It'll bless you. It will bless you, and it will help. Here in chapter 21, where the Lord deals with our brethren, the verses that we want to pull out here for our theme verses is this in verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? John 21:22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Okay, so that's what we want to consider. Follow thou me, and we want to take a look at the life of the Apostle Peter. As we take a look at our brother's life, you know, the account of his life is in the Scriptures for our benefit. We don't need to be critical of Brother Peter, or we don't need to say that I would do different, because I think what we find with our Brother Peter, the Apostle Peter, is that we see a mirror about ourselves. And you know, what this does, the account of his life in the Scriptures, is indeed a testimony to you and me that there is help and hope for us. Okay? So know that. And may we look at his life, may we not be critical of him, but may we learn from our brother and the account that's given to us about his life in the Word of God, because it is written for us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Okay? And then we'll see this man changed. We'll see this man changed by our Lord. And listen, he's going to go from one of John the Baptist's disciples to an apostle and struggling disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to a converted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we're going to see that in his life. And you know what? It lays out the map and the pattern and what ought to be for you and me. I'm afraid that we have, and it, as it is with people, but I'm afraid that we have, and we certainly live in a day that maybe there are several folks that are saved, but they just haven't been converted. And we need to be converted. Brother Gordon mentioned about that. He said that there was a difference between being regenerated and converted. And that kind of, I'd already felt and believed the Lord would have me to do a study on Peter, but that was just something that kind of rang a bell in regards to that. There is a difference, and there is a salvation. There's nothing more important than salvation, but after salvation, there is more. And then after church membership, it's a blessing of church membership. It is a blessing indeed, and a blessing and a high calling from God. But you know what? After church membership, there's more. What you're going to find out on this road, this narrow road that we walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, that narrow way that he saves us and calls us into, there's no end to the calling of that. And so may our Lord help us as we consider about our brother here and the accounts of his life. What we want to try to do is try to go through in order and systematically about his life and see how the Lord brings him along and learn from that as we go. In John chapter 1, take a look over here in John chapter 1. In this portion of Scripture, we see that at Bethabara, Peter meets Jesus. He had, from the Scriptures, we don't understand that he had ever met the Lord Jesus before. And then this is one of those times that I need to throw a map on the wall. And one of these days I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to do that. I'm working on that. I'm taking steps to make that easy to be done. Bethabara is over on the east side of the of the Jordan, just north of the Dead Sea, kind of due east of Jericho. If you've got a map in the back of your Bible that tells about the lay of the land in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's most commonly how those maps are labeled or listed. And it's over there. It's where John the Baptist went over to baptize. He was found over there, not at Jerusalem and not over there in the Kidron and not over there, but over there in Jordan. OK, over there in Jordan. Find it interesting. I don't know if there's any connection or not. Throw this out here for you, brother, and maybe you might want to pursue a study on it. And if you beat me to it. But, you know, John's over there baptizing right about where the children of Israel entered into the promised land. Isn't that something? And you know, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, did, is he opened up and brought indeed what the promised land is to bear, didn't he? And so that's where John's baptizing. And so we pick it up here in John chapter 1. Let's look around here. That would help if I got in the right chapter, wouldn't it? Okay, that makes sense. Verse 35, John 1, verse 35. I was trying to make Luke work. Again, the next day, after John stood, that is John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked. So Jesus is walking there. Jesus has come down there where John is baptizing. He saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And I wondered if he wouldn't have motioned to him, or certainly he turned his attention to the Lord Jesus. As the Lord Jesus was walking by, the people that were there in that place where John the Baptist was baptizing, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He says, "Look over at him, fellas. There he is. Well, watch that one that's walking across there. He is the Lamb of God." The Lord Jesus had been to John and was baptized of him, wasn't he? And the Father had given a token. The Lord God had given John a token that whoever he saw the Spirit of God descend from heaven and abiding on, that's the same. The same as he that baptizes with the Spirit and with fire. He told him that's the one. He said, "I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know what he looked like, but when that happened, I knew it was him." And so John says and indicates before our brethren, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And so there's these two that they go over, and they look to follow Jesus rather than following John. See, John's been preaching about Jesus, hadn't he? And it would just be if I'm preaching to you about somebody that's coming that is greater, that we need to follow and that we need to go after, when they would show up, would it make sense that you would continue to sit under my teaching? You know, and I know that's just an example and a poor example, but that's what John has been preaching Jesus Christ. And now he says, there he is. Well, full well, his disciples would follow him. That's what John has been teaching them. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is the saving interpreted master, as they would call John that, as they would call the leaders of the synagogue in the day that they grew up there in Bethsaida and Capernaum and all that. They would have called those fellows the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the doctors of the law and the lawyers and the scribes. You know, they would honor them. So they honor the Lord. They say, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt. So the Lord Jesus Christ had a little place, a little camp there. It's not talking about a house that he lived in, but a place there that he was camped out, no doubt. And because remember, all these people are going over to hear John preach and then testifying that they believe in the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior that John is preaching. When they say, "Oh, I believe, I trusted him, I repent of my sins and I trust in that Christ that you preach," they're over there coming to John, coming and going and coming over there to stay. You know, they don't travel around like we travel around. It's a trip. It's somewhat of a trip. To go over to the Jordan from Jerusalem, you've got to want to. Okay? It's not just a little easy drive. And, of course, there would be a road over there and everything, but it's not like it is in our day. And he said, and they come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, verse 39, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So one of these two is Andrew. And he hears John say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so Andrew is one of the two that goes after him. He said, "Master, where do you live?" He said, "Come and see." And they abode with him. They stayed with him. They were around him. Do you think Jesus just sat around there with his lips closed? I dare say our Lord started talking to him and teaching him, don't you? It is. I think we have a glimpse of that here in the Scriptures. He first findeth his own brother Simon, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And latch on to that, because that's a big statement. The Old Testament is full of prophecy about the coming Messiah. And John has been preaching that he is at hand. And John has said to that one that was walking across there over there at Bethabara, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so after these fellows abode with him that day, so we know the Lord didn't just sit around with his mouth closed. I think Andrew's fully persuaded, don't you? Right? He followed him, and it was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "Simon, we have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. Okay, so this is Christ's name of office, isn't it? Okay? Understand, you know, Christ isn't a name like Jim is. Christ is a name more like Pastor is to me. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. And Andrew hadn't spent much time with him but that day, and he's persuaded this is it. See, that's a big statement on Andrew's part, isn't it? And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Now, we can read a lot into this and you know, knowing human nature, and we kind of have a understanding already about how it is, pardon me, how it is with Peter, that the Lord with authority speaks to our brother right away. He lets him know that he knows who he is, who his daddy is. And see that our Lord speaks to Peter and he says, your name is Simon, but you're going to be called Cephas. You're going to be called a little stone. And see, the Lord doesn't ask him. The Lord doesn't fly it by him and see what he thinks of it or not. But our Lord indeed has taken an interest in him and has told him the way it's going to be. And the thing is, that's not bad. That's good. The Lord knows that it's going to help Peter, because Peter does need help. The Lord knows that Peter can really fly off the handle and speak his mind before he really thinks about a thing, or in many things that Peter is found to be misinformed by his own wisdom. We'll see that. And the Lord says to him, maybe the Lord says to him, Peter, you're rough and tough and able, but you're going to be a little stone. You're going to be a stone, but you're going to be a little stone. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And so here we see our Lord meets Jesus the first time. Andrew brings him, and Andrew is persuaded that he's the Messiah. He wants Peter to be persuaded too, doesn't he? Don't you reckon that Andrew speaks to Simon about what John said? As Andrew left the Lord Jesus and went over there to Peter, do you think that he just didn't say anything when he found him? I mean, we have here written what he said. He saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. John is writing this account. And I think about the brethren as they sat down over the course of the years and during the ministry of the Lord and after the ministry of the Lord, how they, as we do, talk to one another about things that just they saw. Andrew and Peter were the only ones that knew what Andrew said. But no doubt they recounted that. Peter might have said, yeah, Andrew came over here and told me, but I didn't really buy it. But I went with him, and well, when I saw the Lord, I did see what he was talking about. Or when he said that John said what he said about him. And Andrew says, yeah, he told us that day, and we went, and you came and saw for yourself. I mean, people are people. And so our Lord meets the Lord Jesus. We find here in verse number 44 as an aside, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And so that's where Andrew and Peter, who are brothers, were from. And one of those cities that's up there to the northwest of the Sea of Galilee. If we come over here, to Matthew chapter 4, where we have our theme verse. And let's read more of this account here. Let's read this again. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. So now understand this, that Bethabara is where Peter first met the Lord. And since that time is loaded up, going back home, went back to work. Normal life is at hand. Was there with the Lord as some of the other brethren were that we didn't read about there in John chapter 1. They abode with the Lord, and the Lord dealt with Nathanael and others. But now they're back in Galilee, aren't they? Back up north. Bethabara is down in Judah. But they're all the way north of Samaria and north up into Galilee, up there by the Sea of Galilee, where they lived and worked. And so Jesus has made the trip up there. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. You wonder about John, James and John, if did the Lord have any contact with them down there by the Jordan where John the Baptist was baptizing? We understand that Peter and Andrew and James and John knew one another. They had an acquaintance with one another at the least. They are the same occupation, fishermen. And the Lord coming by the seashore of Galilee there calls James and John and Andrew and Peter and says, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. What would it take for you to get up from your job and leave it? That's what these men did. Their very livelihood, they, at the command of the Lord, got up and left it. James, the son of Zebedee, there in verse 21, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, where those men lived, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, which is a big piece of real estate there in the north and to the east of Galilee. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers different diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them, Jesus did. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now, can you imagine one coming and saying to you, come follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then as you see him and whatever troop that the Lord had already, which it's evident that he very well may have had, and then more and more people begin to follow. More and more people begin to come. Where are you from? Well, I live down in Jerusalem. Where are you from? Down on the other side of Jordan or over there in Syria and Decapolis. Where are you from? On the other side of the Sea of Galilee. What are you doing here? Well, there's never been one like this man has been. He healed my daddy. He healed my mama. He healed my brother and my sister. Nobody's ever preached or taught like him before. And this, they go from John saying, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, to the Lord Jesus Christ showing up where they were and saying, James, John, Andrew, Peter, follow me. The Lord hadn't called us to be disciples in this same way where we would troop around with him, but hasn't he done the same thing with us? Weren't you convicted about what the Lord said in his word and about the truth of his gospel and your need of him? That wasn't it so that the Lord Jesus Christ came and visited you, the individual? You know, nothing's changed with the Lord. And he visited our brother and convicted him and showed him and told him, commanded him, follow thou me. I want to close for this afternoon taking a look here in Luke chapter 5. Let's take a look at this account. A little bit more expansion on what we've seen here in Matthew 4. In Luke chapter 5, and it came to pass, verse number 1, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. So we see that the ministry of the Lord has been going. He's been preaching seemingly as he's been on his way to Galilee. From the time after his temptation, he went to John and was baptized, and then his temptation in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus Christ took off. And he preached and he taught and his ministry. And then what did he do? As he bid those and he commanded those as he went on the way, he said, follow me. He's building his church right then. He may tell about his church later on and make it to us to be understood officially, but he's building his church right there. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. We don't see that over in Matthew chapter 4, do we? To that kind of detail. He's already been to, or he's going to go to James and John, but this was his first stop at Andrew and Peter's. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So you remember Andrew, you reckon Andrew and Peter remember the Lord? How could you forget him? Amen. After Andrew went and got Peter and he brought him over to the Lord and they spent more time with him, how could you ever forget him? Remember, Andrew was excited. You know, and these are rough fellas. These are men that live on the water. These are men that are fishermen. They're fishing with fish and toiling with nets and repairing nets and handling a knife and addressing fish to take it to market and sell it. After a hard day's or night's worth of work, they stink. But man, they're convinced, aren't they? I dare say they're kind of hard. But they're convinced, aren't they? And so he tells Simon to thrust out a little from the land, and he taught the people out of the ship, and so there they are. They hear him again. And now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, he says to Simon, you know, Simon is going to be a leader amongst the apostles. Simon, well, you know how it is. I mean, it's what's said. It's not right for us to do this in any way. But you know what's said about somebody coming into a new group is you come into a new group of people, pick out the toughest one and whip them, and everybody else will be afraid of you. Well, the Lord doesn't work in that coarse way. But I venture that Simon is the one that the Lord knows is going to be the hardest to convince. You take care of Simon, and everybody else will get it. I wonder that, with the way the Lord works with him. But he's going to be a leader amongst the brethren. And the Lord knows that too, and he's preparing him for that. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So now he puts Simon to the test. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. We know our business. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It's not been a good night, Lord. We've not taken in anything. But because you want it done, because you're a master, the greatest teacher that we've ever had, that's kind of where it lays with Peter right now. I'll do it. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. This man indeed is repentant, isn't he? Now, he's already been saved. But at the presence of his Savior, of his Lord, the one that he heard John the Baptist preaching about, he knows that he is a little stone, doesn't he? You know, and it's good for him to be there. It's good. He fell down at Jesus' knees. And there's no better place to be than at the feet of our Lord. He worships his Lord. The Lord has just gone from being master, but he's gone to being Lord. And he needs that, and we need that. He thinks that the answer is for the Lord to just to go on away from him because it's, I don't know, in a manner of speaking, it's just too much for him to handle. For he was astonished at all, and all that were with him, the two in their boat and that other boat that they beckoned over to come and help them, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. How can this be? We worked all night and didn't take anything. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So we see that connection that they have there. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, Simon. Don't fear. You've never seen anything like this. You've never seen this kind of power manifested. You've never met anyone like me. Don't fear, Simon. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Thou shalt catch men with the net of the gospel. And when they had brought their ships to land, what's it say? They forsook all and followed him. Brother Peter, Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter. You know, we would think that after seeing stuff like that, it would just be easy to serve the Lord and line up, wouldn't it? How could we forget anything? How could we ever have a doubt about the ability and the power of the Lord? If we could just be that close, it would all be okay. Well, with the Lord's help and blessing, we'll go on and we'll see how our Lord worked in our brother's life.